Amen. Have you ever gotten your car detailed, or do you guys ever detail your cars? I asked Mary Thursday night. She goes, no, I never heard of that. Roger, you need to detail her van. I used to do it more often, but I don't have the time. But I love a car that's clean, don't you? You get in there. Have you ever detailed a car? You ever done it? I mean, you do everything. You take a little, ice cream stick, and you put your stuff on that, and you get inside the vents, and then you wax it, and you clean. I mean, I even clean the engine off. That's how detailed. And you know, when you get in that car, Holly washed your car. I guess it was like a long time since you washed your car. Dad, it just feels so smooth going down the road. And it does. It feels like car's brand new again, doesn't it? Feels like, man, this is cool. I'm going to keep it a few more years. But, you know, I recently detailed the van for Kathy before she went to Atlanta. She had to drive to Atlanta. And I guarantee, she stops on Wednesdays and Thursdays sometimes because we got to come straight from work up to here. And because we work during the day, and so she stops at Panera Bread, and I guarantee you, there was 1-year-old smoked turkey down in the seats, down in that nook and cranny that you can't get to, and you got to get behind there, and you got to get all that turkey out of there. When I sucked it up in the vacuum cleaner, went, you know, you could hear it go into the vacuum cleaner, a piece of dead old turkey. But you know, and. Don't you want to feel that way? Don't you want to feel, get all the dead turkey out of your life? And you want to be clean. You know, you just want to be clean. I'll give you another story. We had a dog named OJ. And OJ, was he just a puppy? He was just a few, he wasn't even a year old, was he? Well, we were in a rush to get ready for church, and Jackie wanted a piece of gum. So we were all in the car, and Jackie said, well, I need to run in and get me some gum. You know, being that teenage year, I'm sure she wanted her breath fresh for her boyfriend or whatever at church. But she goes in, and then the kitchen, the house that we were in, we had a baby gate up at the front of where the kitchen came into the living room. We had a baby gate, and I had built a little bed for him, and we thought, yeah, he'll be all right. He'll be all right. So Jackie went back in the kitchen. And this closet we had was pantry. It was a closet, but it was like a pantry, and the washer and dryer was right there. And she left that door open a little bit. You remember this, Bob? We came home from church. Oh, my goodness. I wrote it down because I couldn't remember everything. I asked Kathy. There were potatoes, sugar, flour, dirt. He must have got the sugar high first and went berserk. And there was a plant next to the table, and the mini blinds were ripped off the window. The plant had been spilt. There was dirt. And literally this dog went from one end of the kitchen to the other, and looks like he just had a heyday because he mixed all of his water bowl into that dirt. And I'm like, I was furious. I said, I'm getting rid of this dog. This dog, we had already had our bouts with the dog. We had to get a clock and wind up the clock at night so he would sleep, because he would howl all night long. I said, Kathy, I got to go to work. I can't do this. And that dog just tore up everything. And I mean, we come home and he's at the baby gate just wagging his tail. I said, hey, I've been having fun while you're gone. And I thought I would never get that kitchen cleaned up. I mean, we walked, and it would be sticky for weeks. I mean, where he had gotten his paws all dirty, he had it all over the cabinets. He had it all over the washer and dryer. It was a mess. And we kept the dog. But it was amazing. And I thought, I'd never get this place cleaned up. We'd never get it done. We'll never get it right. But I got new good news. If you think your life is so dirty that it'll never come clean, the good news is that Jesus Christ can clean up the most absolute biggest mess of anybody's life, no matter the circumstances. And, you know, I got to thinking of what's the first step of becoming clean? What's that very first step? And the very first step is to accept Christ, Amen. To live a life in Christ. We have the best deal on planet Earth. Yeah. We do. We got the best deal. You know, before Jesus, we had the old covenant. And it was a covenant that was a blood covenant, just like Jesus Christ. But you had to bring the blood. The blood wasn't delivered to you. You had to go deliver the blood. So it was kind of a shambles. It became a legalistic thing. It became all this stuff. I mean, when Jesus saw what was going on in the temple, he tore them down. He took a whip. I mean, the Old Testament covenant became such a ritual, it became a shambles. But the new covenant is the blood of Jesus, and it totally... See, the old covenant, like if this water bottle was here in a stand, the old covenant, if I took a cover, I could just take them, cover it up, but you would still see the outline of that water bottle, right? And you'd still see the outline. It would just cover up sin. The new covenant not only covers, but it completely erases sin. That's the deal with the new covenant. That's great. And so, well, have you seen those Febreze commercials where they take you into a room and they got all this fish and, you know, it's got, what, garbage from 20 days ago. And they're, oh, yeah, this is so like paradise. These people are, yeah, right. I could smell that garbage if I was in there. It's a cover-up. The Febreze just covers up the real dirt, right? But Jesus Christ, when you walk in a room with Jesus, that room, that stuff is gone. There is no cover-up. So, you know, that's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And just remember that, and I'll talk about it later. But we have another way to be clean is through our identity. You know, the world wants you to get in touch with your own feelings, right? They want you to be self-identifying, that, you know, this, oh, I don't know how you want to explain it. They want you to what is that, meditation, yoga, blah, blah, blah. I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Self-understanding is the necessary condition of a sense of self-identity. That's hogwash. The only way to really know who you are, you must identify yourself with Christ. You have to. That's the only way you're going to really know who you are. You can try to do it on your own, but you ain't going to get nowhere. Romans 6, 9 through 11 says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God." Verse 11 says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Sin equals death, but through Jesus, you get to live forever." And remember how I was talking about the law? Galatians 2, 19 through 21 says this, "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I now live in the body, but I live by faith in the Son who loved me and he gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." So the Old Testament, it was you had to do this for God, you had to do this for God, and you had to do this for God. But you see, Jesus did all the four. That's the difference. He was the perfect sacrifice once and for all. And the difference is, instead of us living for God, we're now living in God. Do you see what I'm saying there? It's hard to explain. Because when I live in God, I'm going to do things for him. We don't have to do all this for stuff because he's done the work on the inside in us so that we can live for him. It's a play on words, but it's so true when God gave me that revelation. When people see us as Christians, the clean should just spill out. And they see our life on the outside should look like Christ on the inside. It should just spill out. And you don't keep up with the Joneses, you keep up with Jesus. That's the difference. That's what I'm trying to say. And becoming clean not only means that you're clean in your spirit, but also in your mind, your soul, you know? So I guess a lot of people, we're going to do that book on Wednesday nights, but I guess a lot of people call this inner healing. But how do you get your mind set free of these things that hold you back? That's right. How do you get this clean feeling, this detailed feeling that God can pour over your life so that you can walk in victory? And I was preparing for this sermon, and I had this conversation with the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to preach something that I'm not living in. I don't want to preach something that I haven't done myself. And I was searching my heart all week to find out, okay, Lord, if I've got anything against anybody, you bring that to the light. You clean my soul this week. You just scrub me down, soap me up, and fill me with your love. And I was, you know, he brought up a couple of things, and he says, well, how do you feel about that? Just like that, that's the conversation. I said, I think I'm okay. That's exactly my conversation. And how many of you have had bad things done to you by people? I mean, my dog OJ did a bad thing, but people do a lot worse. I'm telling you. But the Lord brought up a few things, and he asked me how I felt. And I just said, yeah, I can deal with that. I don't have any bitterness there. I don't feel that. And I said, I'm good with it. And then how do you know when you think you got something whipped, you know, God says, by the way, you ever get that? And he spoke this thing to me clearly on my way home Tuesday from work as I was praying. You need to ask Kathy if there's anything between you and her. Just like that. And so, you know, I had this all in my mind how we had our elders meeting, and the whole time I'm in the elders meeting Tuesday night, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, okay, how am I going to ask Kathy this? How am I going to, she's going to think I'm weird, you know, or, you know. Yeah, she already does. Everybody knows I'm weird. Okay. So here come the moment, you know, I'm laying there. Kathy's laying there. And she can fall asleep like that. So I got to go fast. I got to work fast. I can't. She's out like a light. Oh, Kathy, you know. But I told her, I said, you know, I'm laying there. It's all dark in the room. I want to turn the lights out. I didn't want to do it face to face, you know. But I said, you know, I don't have any secrets, you know. Can you think of anything that I've hurt you, or do I have any secrets? And yeah. No, she was still awake. I didn't do it while she was sleeping. I turned the light back on, you know. I did. I turned the light back on. I said, you know everything that I've done bad. You know all the things that are, you know, and I just need you to forgive me. And she just smiled at me and shook her head, you know, like one of those shakes, you know, like, oh, my goodness, you know. And she just gave me a kiss, and she said, turn out the light. I'm tired. And here I had in my mind it was going to be so hard. It was going to be so difficult to confront her on that. And it was just like, just turn out the light and go to bed. It was done. It was over. It was easy. And that's as easy as it is. If you got something with somebody, just go to them and get it over with. Don't hold that stuff inside. It's bitterness and all that stuff. It'll eat you up. It'll eat you up. That's another way to be clean. Just clear the air with anybody you got air with, you know. And you know, all the stupid things and the bad things that we've done, Christ still loves us. I heard this thing this week, don't let your past swallow up your future. And, you know, in Christ, when you become born again, he swallowed up your past. He says he throws your sins into the bottom of the ocean. And I heard this morning, or this week, and I told it to Dave. It was 2 weeks ago. We were talking, and he came in the back room for prayer on Wednesday night. And this is so true. Your future is much closer to you than your past. Did you grasp that? Where you are right now, your future is a lot closer to you than your past. Amen. Get your past dealt with. Get your sins dealt with. And go on to the future. Don't look back. Amen. You got a great future. You'll never be able to solve a spiritual problem by thinking about it. You cannot just think a problem away spiritually by just thinking about it. You got to deal with it spiritually. To get rid of a spiritual problem, you got to deal with it spiritually. The devil, let me tell you how. I watched a squirrel in the yard Friday while I was preparing this. Chrissy ain't having her baby, is she?
No.
Okay. Okay, we'll be praying for him. Okay. I've never delivered a baby yet, and I'm not going to. Yeah. But I was watching this squirrel, and have you ever really watched a squirrel? I feel like an old guy watching squirrels and birds out in the yard. But this squirrel, I watched him, and he would, you know, they'd come along, and he's looking, you know, he'd sit around, he'd eat a little bit, he'd look around, you know, he'd run over here and eat a little bit. He's constantly looking over his shoulder for a predator. Last couple of weeks ago, I saw one of them red-tailed hawks over on 270 with a squirrel. and that's the reason why I thought about this, because that squirrel, his tail was going like this, and he didn't have much time left to live. But I'm telling you, we can have a life that we can eat out in the open and not worry about a predator coming to snatch us and take us away. And if you're living in that, I've lived there. I've lived in that atmosphere where I'm always thinking, God's looking over my back, like we showed in the video, that God's this God and he's going to stomp on you every time you turn around or do something wrong. That's not the life you got in God. That's not the way the life is. He's not after you to kill you all the time. But, you know, strongholds in your life is a house of thoughts. That's all it is. When you have that thought in your mind and you rehearse that thought, you begin to believe it and it becomes part of you, and it's a house of thoughts. And you can pull that house of thoughts right out of that in a heartbeat. You can pull that and tear those strongholds down and bring those strongholds out of your life and change your life with just your thinking about it. If you're a smoker, think of yourself as a non-smoker. Amen. It's just a thought. Go to work tomorrow and say, no, I'm a non-smoker. I was listening to Jimmy Evans, and he said, here I was having my quiet time, smoking with God. And he said, I thought it was completely normal. And then God spoke to him and said, you can't smoke with what I want to do with you. You cannot do this life that I want you to do by smoking. And he said, God just totally changed his mind about smoking. He said, tomorrow, you just tell everybody you're a non-smoker. And they went to work the next day. He says, well, I saw you smoking yesterday. He goes, yeah, but I'm a non-smoker today. And he said that was the last time he smoked cigarettes. Amen. Just by your mindset. Your mind will set you free, but it can also put you in bondage. So, and the other thing I was going to talk about is, are you willing to deal with the dirt? You want to clean up your life, you got to be willing to deal with it. And do you remember the story where Mary, you know, Martha's sister in the Bible, Jesus was in Bethany. Let me read it. It's in John 12. It's in Luke also, I think. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There was a dinner being given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. And, you know, the other gospel says Martha was all around just trying to get things done, trying to make things, you know, kind of reminds me of Holly on Monday nights. We cook dinner at our house, me and Holly. We got to make sure everything's right. And the other people just come in. They're not worried about it. And that That's just the way we are. We've got to make sure it's right, don't we? And so it just kind of reminded me that Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. And then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. It was about a year's wages. And she began to pour it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And one of the disciples, Judas, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and given the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, because he was a thief. And as the keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to it many times. Let me point out some things. You know, this dinner, first of all, was in the honor of Jesus. And Martha is rushing around doing all this stuff. And Mary took this expensive stuff and she began to clean Jesus' feet. And if you know anything about that part of the world, it's dirty. The only paved road, and the paved road, their idea of paved road is not the new Brighton Delhi Road. It's not that idea. It's stones that were placed in aggregate. They call that the Romans paved, were the first ones to make roads, you know. And they took big stones and placed them together, and that's their idea of a paved road. Still very bumpy, dirty, but most of the roads were just dirt paths. So people's feet, and they all had sandals, and they had open-toed shoes. So the custom, you know, you washed your feet before you went into someone's house. They were dirty. They were caked full of dirt. And, you know, as we got the picture of this, so just put this picture in your mind. Mary must have had very long hair. And also, as she was washing his hair with this oil in her hair, it had to have been getting caked up. And just her hair had to be getting matted up with all this dirt, this dust. And so, you know, you think about it. She's, you know, it also discusses about the woman that her hair is part of her beauty. It's a covering. And, she, you know, I'm looking at this as like she's given some of her innermost part of her to clean the feet of Jesus, you know? And I'm looking at it. And also, while Jesus is getting his feet washed, 6 days later, he's going to take on all the dirt of all of us and wash all of our sins, like that song says, and wash it white as snow. Because he says, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It is intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You'll always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." And so, and at the same time, Judas didn't even think about the dirt. Who's going to later betray him to go to the cross? And the dirtbag Judas was looking at this person. He was looking at it as a person without a relationship with Jesus. Mary's looking at it as a relationship with Jesus. You see the difference? And when you have a relationship with Jesus, you don't see, when you don't have that relationship, you don't see the things that you need to see. Judas is on the outside looking at the cost. Mary's given herself to God to clean the feet of Jesus. And the perspective is, you live worldly, you see worldly. When you live dirty, you see dirty. When you live in Christ, you see Christ. Amen. When you live clean, you see clean. You see what I'm trying to say? Let me give you another illustration. All of my grandbabies, I was there. Like, I was there most of the time before they were born. And Simon, the last one before Gabriel? You guys, that's his name, right? You guys should know his name. Anyway, I got to the hospital right when Simon was born. I was the first one there. And it was like 45 minutes after he had been born. And And I walked up in the room. I called Nate and I said, "Hey, can I come up yet?" He goes, "Yeah, come on up. They're done." And so I got up there, and I was the first one to hold him outside of Jackie and Nate. And he still got all the junk on him, you know? He still got all this junk. He hadn't been, I got to give him a bath, help the nurse in the room there give him a bath. And I didn't care. I didn't care. All I wanted to do is hold that baby, you know? And just recently, Gabriel was born. And me and Lily, we went out the room. And, it's going to be another hour. So me and Lily went off on our adventure. We went to the cafeteria, and we got our Skittles, we got our Doritos, and we got our coloring. And we went to the waiting room to wait it on out. We got up there, got our Doritos all laid out on the thing. We were the only ones in the waiting room, so I just made a spread for her, you know. And so 15 minutes later, Gabe's here. And we got to go right in the room. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know how. They're still working on Holly. They're still. And I'm thinking, well, Lily don't need to see this. And you know what? She didn't even see it. She didn't see the junk. She just, I mean, we're in the room, and there's all this junk, you know, blood and everything. And Mom didn't care. Dad didn't care. I didn't care. Lily didn't care. None of us in that room cared about all that. He was part of our family. And you see, Christ doesn't care how much junk you got on you. Right. He's willing to hold you anyway. Amen. So what happens when you get clean? What happens when you become clean? You get to see the dirt real clear. That's the thing. You can see the nooks and the crannies of your life when you become clean in Christ. You see all the things that you need to clean up. You see all this stuff. And I talked to Madeline. She wasn't brave enough, but she was talking to me Thursday night. I was going to have her come up and talk to us, but she wasn't brave enough. But she said when she got baptized, she understood what I was talking about, because when she went down in the water and she came back up, she said, "I was clean on the inside and I was clean on the outside." She said, "My mind was clean and all this." And, you know, you can't get that nowhere else, only from God. Being clean opens the calling that God's placed on your life. When you have no guilt or shame or bitterness or all that, you can see what God wants you to do so clear. You can walk without fear. You can be that squirrel that walks out there in the open and say, "I'm not going to get caught." When I was, you know, every time I've had to go to Europe, I lay awake. I just lay awake in that. I admit, you know, I worry a little bit. If anybody knows me, I don't worry very much. But my last trip to Europe, I had such peace about it. I said, "Man, you know, if you go international, it's when you, and you got to work the moment you get there. You're going off the plane. You go straight to the plant. You want to be sharp. You got a lot of things you got to do. It's complicated work, very hard engineering work and stuff. So you want to sync up as much as you can." And one way for me is if I fly at the time I need to fly for the night, I can. And you know what? God just blessed me. We came. I was able to sleep all night long like nothing happened, and I never lost a beat. You know, I was up for a little while, but still, I had just a peace about it. I knew that God was going to take care of it. And you know, it's like even last night, I went right to sleep, thinking about the sermon and stuff and all this stuff we have to do. It didn't bother me because I had a peace on the inside. But when you become spiritually clean, basically what it means is you're becoming in right standing with God. That's what it basically means. Let me read some scriptures. I'm just going to run them down the list, but I want you to listen to these scriptures. "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. God is faithful. He will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to. He will provide me a way of escape so that I can bear it. I'm a new creation, created in Christ Jesus. The old of me is gone, and I've been made brand new. The weapons given to me are mighty in God for pulling down his strongholds. I cast down arguments. That's the thing I was talking about in your mind, strongholds. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, I bring all those thoughts into subjection and captivity to the obedience of Christ. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. The sharing of my faith becomes effective by acknowledging of every good thing that is in me, which is in Christ Jesus. I lay aside all moral filth and evil, and I humbly receive the implanted word which saves my soul. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Sin will not have dominion over me, for I'm not under the law, but under grace. I have been made free from sin, and I've become a servant to God. I have fruit leading me to holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans, if you don't know that. I keep my body and bring it into subjection. I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God has raised me together and made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me will continue it until the return of Christ. That's the word of God. All those are just, that's just the word of God. And you know, we all think that we got time to fix things. And we got time to on our hands. We got, especially when you're younger, you feel like, yeah, nothing's going to bother me. I was talking to my mom last night. She's 88 years old. And I just wrote this out. In 1928, listen to this. There was only steam trains. There weren't diesels. Cars were not common. They were not a common thing. We didn't have a highway system from coast to coast. We didn't have it. We didn't have interstates. The only real cars were like out in the big cities. Big cities. No telephones. Most of the telephones, you had to go to town if you wanted to use telephones. It was like the telegraph. You had, and especially where my mom was born, back in the back hills of Tennessee, telephones was not even a thing. No TV, just radio. And radio was just in the beginning stages in 1928. It was the first movie. In 1928, they made the first movie with sound, let alone color, sound, just audio. It was Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie. That was in 1928. And mom's relatives, who were still alive when she was born, fought in the Civil War. That seems like ages ago, but you know what my mom said to me last night? Because what had happened, one of her neighbors died on Friday. And she goes, it just seems like yesterday I was a little kid. And it seems like eons ago. And you know, you just don't have much time. You think you do, but you don't. The Bible says life is but a vapor, a wisp, and it goes away. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that vapor is saturated with the love of God. I got a Savior who can make you whole. He can make you clean. And you got to be willing to detail your life with Christ. He's the only one that can get all the nooks and crannies. He can go down into the very soul and heart of you and clean all the nooks and crannies and pull all that dirt out of your life so that you can live a life that's conscience free. Because the only way you're going to get your mind set free is with a spiritual life in Christ. The only way you can. And I don't know where I'm going to go with this, but I think that if you feel like you cannot get freedom in your life, the only way you're going to get freedom is to submit your life to Christ. You can't do it any other way. And I would like to pray for you. I would like to pray with you. Mary, if you want to just play, I don't know if we want to sing that song again or not, I don't know. But I do feel in my spirit that some of you don't know what I'm talking about at all. I think that you probably don't understand what it's like to live a life free, totally free, from the bonds that hold you back. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, then you're not living it. If you don't have that mindset that I feel good today, I feel good spiritually, I feel like I could just take on the devil and whip him up and down his face, slap him around. If you don't have that, you're not living in freedom. You're not an overcomer. And I want all of you to be overcomers. I want all of you to have the ability to slap the devil in the face. Because living a life in Christ makes you clean. And I'm here to tell you, I'm just as dirty as the rest of them. You know, we all have to have a moment in our lives all the time where we can say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of this. Forgive me of that. And if you haven't asked the Lord for forgiveness, and I know the church today probably doesn't teach forgive, you know, to repent, to just come up and repent. If you need to feel like you need to repent, the altars are open. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. But these altars are wide open. So everybody's sin free.